This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.MuslimCentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Quran Weekly. This is your brother Umar Sulaiman. Welcome back to the Superstar Series. Today we're going to be talking about one of my favorite companions. And subhanAllah, this is someone who is famous sometimes for the wrong reasons. And that is Bilal ibn Rabah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyidul Mu'adhineen, the chief of all of the people who give adhan, the chief of all of the mu'adhins. Bilal radiallahu anhu has a very interesting background. And many times we don't talk about that. His father and his mother were both actually prominent members before they became slaves. So his father, Rabah, was actually an Arab. He was not from Abyssinia. His mother, whose name was Hamama, was actually a princess in Abyssinia. And they were both taken as slaves on Amul Fil, on the year of the elephant. Hence, Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu was actually born in Mecca, but born to parents who, although were not born slaves, they were taken as slaves. And so Bilal radiallahu anhu grew up as a slave in the Arab world his entire life. And Bilal radiallahu anhu, you know, fell into the hands of the royals of Mecca because he was well known for his abilities, for his strength radiallahu anhu, for his intelligence. Bilal radiallahu anhu was also a very, very handsome man. So he's described by Dhahabi rahimahullah as being very dark, muscular, had hazel eyes that were piercing. He said if you looked at his eyes, then you wouldn't want to look anywhere else. He was such a handsome man, strong man, intelligent man, radiallahu anhu. So obviously, the best slaves were given to the people of the royal class of Mecca. So he was in the hands eventually of Umayyah ibn Khalaf. Now Umayyah ibn Khalaf was one of the staunchest opponents of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Bilal radiallahu anhu one day hears Umayyah talking about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he gathers from Umayyah talking to the others about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the Prophet ﷺ is calling to Tawheed, to the oneness of God. And this is our fitrah, this is what we already believe in. It's inside of us, we're already tuned to believe in one God. So even though they were slandering the Prophet ﷺ and saying what they were saying, he believed in Rasulullah ﷺ and his message just from hearing that. And so Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu started to object, and Bilal started to say, Ahadun Ahad, one, one. And that's something that's very profound, because Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu would ask Bilal radiallahu anhu later on in life, you know, once Bilal had become established as a great Muslim leader, why is it that you only said Ahadun Ahad, one, one? He said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, O Commander of the Believers, had I known anything other than one, I would have said it. That's all I knew about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for that one, one, Bilal radiallahu anhu would be tortured, he would be pushed almost to death over and over and over again. And subhanAllah, we hear about the stone. But let me take you through a few days of the life of Bilal radiallahu anhu in that situation. First, they tied him up in the house and they deprived him of food and drink. So they starved him and they dehydrated him, and they would put the idols in his face and say, kiss the idol, worship the idol, worship Allah wal Uzza. And they would be in his face and they would humiliate him and they would spit at him and they would refer to him with the derogatory term, Yabna Sawda, son of a black woman. Because what they were saying to Bilal is that even though your father was an Arab, it doesn't matter. And that's why that term was so offensive, especially to Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Yabna Sawda, you son of a black woman, worship Allah, worship Al-Uzza. Then Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, as he continued to refuse, saying Ahadun Ahad, one God, one God, one God, he was dragged in the desert. And Umayyah ibn Khalaf actually put a collar on him. Can you imagine a man being dragged with like a dog collar? He put a collar on him and he dragged him out in public. And he spit at Bilal, he humiliated him, he tortured him, and he whipped him in front of everyone. Said, say you worship Allah wal Uzza. And Bilal radiallahu anhu continued to say, Ahadun Ahad, one God, one God. Then they put burning iron on Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And they were torturing him in front of the other slaves in particular so that no one would follow his example radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Bilal radiallahu anhu was between unconsciousness and consciousness, and Bilal radiallahu anhu was still saying, Ahadun Ahad, one God, one God, until finally they tried to even kill Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu by having multiple other slaves push this big stone on his back so that it would crush him to death. By that time, the Prophet ﷺ had heard about Bilal radiallahu anhu, and Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu heard about Bilal. So Abu Bakr rushed to purchase the freedom of Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu comes to Umayyah and he says, "How much do you want for this slave? How much do you want for him?" And Umayyah ibn Khalaf, he said, 10 dinars. And that's a huge price for a slave at that time. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, without thinking, gave him 10 dinars. And then Umayyah laughed and he said, "If you would have, you know, argued with me a little bit and tried to negotiate, I would have given him to you even for 1 dinar. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu responds, and subhanAllah, look at the change already that's taking place in Bilal's life, how much the Muslims valued him. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, just knowing that the slave was a Muslim, said to him, "Wallahi, if you were to sell him for 100 dinars, I still would have purchased his freedom." SubhanAllah. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Abu Bakr paid that huge price for Bilal radiallahu anhu, some of the others, they said, Abu Bakr was only doing that to show off, or there was some kind of ish, there was something between him and Bilal. He owed Bilal for something and that's why he did it. And Allah defended Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu when he freed Bilal radiallahu anhu, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Surah Al-Layl, that he only spends, إِلَّا بِتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ رَبِّهِ الْأَعْلَى. He only spends to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and for nothing else. There's no worldly gain out of this. But it was, they just couldn't get it. And subhanAllah, this man was taken from that situation where he was humiliated his whole life. And there's a hikmah here, there's a wisdom here. Had Bilal never become Muslim, yes, he went through a lot of torture, but had Bilal never become Muslim, he probably would have just died a slave. He would have never gained his freedom. But look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him as a result of his trust. He goes from being that humiliated human being, who's not even being treated like a human being, to being called, as Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu used to call him, Sayyiduna, our master, who was freed by Sayyiduna, who was freed by our master. Our master who was freed by our master. SubhanAllah, look at the paradigm shift. Look at the shift in their mentality. Umar radiallahu anhu, who was a proud man from the most noble lineage of Quraysh, is saying to this slave, a former slave, someone who was just freed, and he's saying, our master, who was freed by our master. And Bilal radiallahu anhu gained such a high status in Islam. And subhanAllah, you can imagine how Bilal radiallahu anhu felt on the day of Badr, when he saw Umayyah ibn Khalaf, who subjected him to that torture and humiliation for his entire life. And Bilal radiallahu anhu saw him, and he said, "Wallahi ma najawtu in naja." He said, "I will not survive if he survives." He said, "I will not live unless he dies. Both of us cannot live." And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed Bilal radiallahu anhu to kill Umayyah ibn Khalaf after he subjected him to that torture throughout his entire life. But Bilal radiallahu anhu was so much more than that. Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu did not just become special in our deen because he happened to be black. There were many, many, many black sahaba. And I think that one of the greatest mistakes that we make sometimes is that we think that the reason why Allah chose Bilal radiallahu anhu to give the adhan, or the Prophet ﷺ chose Bilal to give the adhan, was some sort of publicity stunt, right? To say, this is how we treat black people and this is how we bring our... No. He was chosen to be the first person that would stand up in Medina, in the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ, and say, "Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar." And he was the first person, when the Muslims conquered Mecca, when the Muslims came back to Mecca and Fatih Mecca, he was the first person that would climb the Kaaba and say, "Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar." And he was the first person for another incident as well, which we'll get to. Because he was someone who almost died saying, "Ahadun Ahad, one, one." So who would be more worthy of standing up and calling the Muslims to La ilaha illallah, that there is only one God, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who else fits that position more? There were many black sahaba. This wasn't about that. Bilal radiallahu anhu was there because he deserved to be there. And the Prophet ﷺ loved him so much that when the Prophet ﷺ would seclude himself from everyone else, Bilal radiallahu anhu was the only one that was allowed to be with him. When the Prophet ﷺ before Bilal radiallahu anhu would even call the adhan, Bilal would go and seek the permission of the Prophet ﷺ first. So he would see the Prophet ﷺ every day, at least those 5 times a day. He had a very special connection to the Prophet ﷺ. And that's something that was given to him and no one else. The level that Bilal radiallahu anhu had of connection to the Prophet ﷺ and having his company, no other companion could have that. And so when the Prophet ﷺ comes back to Mecca, and Bilal radiallahu anhu climbs the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Ka'bah, and Bilal radiallahu anhu starts to call, "Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar." You know, there were some of the hypocrites and some of the disbelievers, they saw that, and that racism came out. And they said, Abdun Aswad, you have this black slave, Yartaqil Ka'bah, who's climbing up the Ka'bah. But that's what Islam came to crush. You know, Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu was not the mu'adhin because he was black, but he was the mu'adhin despite being black. It didn't matter. It didn't matter in Islam. Islam did away with that ignorance. So Bilal radiallahu anhu was the first one to climb the Kaaba. And I want you to do me a favor, because there's no way I can cover this in the video. Read about the virtues of the mu'adhineen, of a mu'adhin on the Day of Judgment. And so when they come back to Medina, and Bilal radiallahu anhu accompanied the Prophet ﷺ back to Medina afterwards. When the Prophet ﷺ became sick, Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu would come to inform the Prophet ﷺ about the salah, and he would find him sick. And Bilal radiallahu anhu would start crying, and he would say, "Wa huzna," you know, the grief that I'm feeling right now. And in fact, when the Prophet ﷺ was about to die, Bilal radiallahu anhu said the same words that Maryam alayhi salam said, "Laytani mittu qabla hadha," said, "I wish I never lived to see this day." SubhanAllah, can you imagine how he felt going into the Prophet ﷺ's room to tell him that it was the time for salah, and the Prophet ﷺ was unconscious, or the Prophet ﷺ was breathing his last? He couldn't handle it, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And when the Prophet ﷺ passed away, Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu actually stands in Medina to give the adhan. And it was the salah right after the Prophet ﷺ passed away. And when he gets to Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Now keep in mind, he was the one that would go tell the Prophet ﷺ it's adhan. Then he stands up and says, "I bear witness that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." He got up there and he said, "Ashhadu anna," and he couldn't say it. He couldn't even say the name of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you know, because while he was there, he would just start to cry. He remembered all of the moments he had with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in Medina, he looks around. Everywhere he looks, he remembers the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was there with him. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled at him, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at him, so he asked Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to send him out in battle. "I don't want to be here." And subhanallah, he could not bear to be in Medina. And the next time Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu would call the adhan would be on the day of the conquest of Jerusalem, of Al-Quds. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked Bilal radiallahu anhu to share in that historic moment. And he says, "Oh Bilal, give us the pleasure of hearing your adhan once again." And Bilal radiallahu anhu didn't want to, but Umar radiallahu anhu pressured him, "Please, we want to hear it." So Bilal radiallahu anhu, the first mu'adhin in Medina, who climbed the Haram in Medina and the Haram in Mecca, would now be the first one to say Allahu Akbar in Jerusalem, in Al-Quds. And he climbs up there, and when he gets to Ashhadu Anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, all of the Sahaba break down in tears. All of them. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, his beard became wet with tears. He broke down in tears because they remembered the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam amongst them just by hearing Ashhadu Anna Muhammadan Rasulullah from the mouth of Bilal radiallahu anhu, because they never heard that while the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. They never heard that after he passed away alayhi salatu wasalam. And so towards the end of his life, radiallahu anhu, Bilal radiallahu anhu continued in the conquest of Al-Sham. And subhanAllah, he actually would pass away in Halab, in Aleppo. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for the people of Halab, because they are under a horrible siege right now. May Allah give them victory and patience. That's where Bilal radiallahu anhu was buried. And as he's dying, Bilal radiallahu anhu is happy. And his wife is saying the same words that Bilal radiallahu anhu said when the Prophet ﷺ was passing away. His wife is saying, wa huzna. You know, what grief, you know, that I'm losing my husband Bilal. And Bilal radiallahu anhu looks at his wife and he says, "Don't say that." He says, "Say wa farhata." Say, "What a great joy. Ghadan alqa al-ahibba Muhammadan wa sahba." Tomorrow I will get to be with my beloved again, Muhammad ﷺ and his companions. Don't say that it's grief. This is joy. Bilal radiallahu anhu didn't mind leaving behind anything else, because he knew that he was going to be rejoined with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Bilal radiallahu anhu died in Halab, in Aleppo, and he's still buried there today in Halab, in Syria. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy upon him, to be pleased with him and pleased when we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to hear his adhan on the Day of Judgment and in Jannah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gather us with him and the companions and the family of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannat al-Firdaus. Allahumma ameen. Jazakumullahu khayran. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullahi lakum. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.